"So Black was the potter's secret keeper,"
whispered Madame Rosmerta.
"Naturally," said Professor McGonagall, "James Potter told Dumbledore that Black would die rather than tell where they were, that Black was planning to go into hiding himself, and yet Dumbledore remained worried. I remember him offering to be the Potter's secret keeper himself." "He suspected Black," gasped Madame Rosmerta.
"He was sure that somebody close to the Potters had been keeping you-know-who informed of their movements," said Professor McGonagall darkly. "Indeed, he had suspected for some time that someone on our side had turned traitor, and was passing a lot of information to you-know-who."
"But James Potter insisted on using Black."
"He did," said Fudge heavily, "and then, barely a week after the Fidelius charm had been performed..."
"Black betrayed them,"
breathed Madame Rosmerta.
"He did, indeed.
Black was tired of his double-agent role. He was ready to declare his support openly for you-know-who, and he seems to have planned this for the moment of the Potter's death. But as we all know, you-know-who met his downfall in little Harry Potter. Powers gone, horribly weakened, he fled, and this left Black in a very nasty position indeed. His master had fallen at the very moment when he, Black, had shown his true colours as a traitor. He had no choice but to run for it."
"Filthy, stinking turncoat!"
Hagrid said, so loudly that half the bar went quiet.
"Shh!" said Professor McGonagall. "I met him," growled Hagrid. "I must have been the last to see him before he killed all them people. It was me what rescued Harry from Lily and James' house after they was killed. Just got him out of the ruins, poor little thing, with a great slash across his forehead, and his parents dead, and Sirius Black turns up on that flying motorbike he used to ride. Never occurred to me what he was doing there. I didn't know he'd been Lily and James's secret keeper. Thought he'd just heard the news of you-know-who's attack, and come to see what he could do. White and shaking he was. And you know what I did? I comforted the murdering traitor!"
Hagrid roared.
"Hagrid, please," said Professor McGonagall, "keep your voice down. How was I to know he wasn't upset about Lily and James? It was you-know-who he cared about. And then he says, 'Give Harry to me, Hagrid. I'm his godfather. I'll look after him.' Ha! But I'd had me orders from Dumbledore, and I told Black no. Dumbledore said Harry was to go to his aunt and uncle's. Black argued, but in the end he gave in. Told me to take his motorbike to get Harry there. 'I won't need it any more,' he says. I should have known there was something fishy going on then. He loved that motorbike. What was he giving it to me for? Why wouldn't he need it any more? Fact was, it was too easy to trace. Dumbledore knew he'd been the Potter's secret keeper. Black knew he was going to have to run for it that night, knew it was a matter of hours before the Ministry was after him. But what if I'd given Harry to him, eh? I bet he'd have pitched him off the bike halfway out to sea, his best friend's son. But when a wizard goes over to the dark side, there's nothing and no one that matters to him any more."
A long silence followed Hagrid's story. Then Madame Rosmerta said with some satisfaction,
"But he didn't manage to disappear, did he? The Ministry of Magic caught up with him next day."
"Alas, if only we had," said Fudge bitterly. "It was not we who found him. It was little Peter Pettigrew, another of the Potter's friends, maddened by grief, no doubt, and knowing that Black had been the Potter's secret keeper, he went after Black himself."
"Pettigrew? That fat little boy who was always tagging around after them at Hogwarts?" said Madame Rosmerta.
"Hero worshipped Black and Potter," said Professor McGonagall. "Never quite in their league, talent-wise. I was often rather sharp with him. You can imagine how I regret that now."
She sounded as though she had a sudden head cold.
"There now, Minerva," said Fudge kindly. "Pettigrew died a hero's death. Eyewitnesses, muggles, of course, we wiped their memories later, told us how Pettigrew cornered Black. They say he was sobbing, 'Lily and James, Sirius, how could you?' And then he went for his wand. Well, of course, Black was quicker. Blew Pettigrew to smithereens."
Professor McGonagall blew her nose and said thickly,
"Stupid boy. Foolish boy. He was always hopeless at duelling. Should have left it to the Ministry. I tell you, "'If I'd got to black before little Pettigrew did, "'I wouldn't have messed around with wands. "'I'd have ripped him limb from limb,'
Hagrid growled.
"'You don't know what you're talking about, Hagrid,' said Fudge sharply. "'Nobody but trained hit wizards from the Magical Law Enforcement Squad "'would have stood a chance against Black once he was cornered. "'I was junior minister in the Department of Magical Catastrophes at the time, "'and I was one of the first on the scene after Black murdered all those people. "'I will never forget it. "'I still dream about it sometimes. "'A crater in the middle of the street, so deep it had cracked the sewer below. "'Bodies everywhere, muggles screaming, and Black standing there, laughing.' "'with what was left of Pettigrew in front of him, "'a heap of blood-stained robes and a few fragments.' "'Fudge's voice stopped abruptly. "'There was the sound of five noses being blown.
"'Well, there you have it, Rosmerta,' said Fudge thickly. "'Black was taken away by 20 members of the Magical Law Enforcement Patrol, "'and Pettigrew received the Order of Merlin, first class.' "'which I think was some comfort to his poor mother. "'Black's been in Azkaban ever since.'
"'Madame Rosmerta let out a long sigh.
"'Is it true he's mad, Minister?' "'I wish I could say that he was,' said Fudge slowly. "'I certainly believe his master's defeat unhinged him for a while. "'The murder of Pettigrew and all those muggles "'was the action of a cornered and desperate man, cruel, pointless. "'Yet I met Black on my last inspection of Azkaban.' You know, most of the prisoners in there sit muttering to themselves in the dark. There's no sense in them. But I was shocked at how normal Black seemed. He spoke quite rationally to me. It was unnerving. You'd have thought he was merely bored. Asked if I'd finished with my newspaper. Cool as you please. Said he missed doing the crossword. Yes, I was astounded at how little effect the Dementors seemed to be having on him. And he was one of the most heavily guarded in the place, you know. Dementors outside his door day and night. "'But what do you think he's broken out to do?' said Madame Rosmerta. "'Good gracious, Minister, he isn't trying to rejoin you-know-who, is he?'
"'I dare say that is his eventual plan,' said Fudge evasively. "'But we hope to catch Black long before that. "'I must say you-know-who alone and friendless is one thing, "'but give him back his most devoted servant, and I shudder to think how quickly he'll rise again.'
There was a small chink of glass on wood. Someone had set down their glass.
"'You know, Cornelius, if you're dining with the headmaster, we'd better head back up to the castle,' said Professor McGonagall.
One by one, the pairs of feet in front of Harry took the weight of their owners once more. Hems of cloaks swung into sight, and Madame Rosmerta's glittering heels disappeared behind the bar. The door of the Three Broomsticks opened again. There was another flurry of snow— and the teachers disappeared.
"'Harry?'
Ron and Hermione's faces appeared under the table. They were both staring at him, lost for words.